I have really good news. You don't have to pull any more weeds. Have you seen this summer? Have you seen what June did? All that water? I have weeds in the middle of concrete. I swear I do. Anybody else have? Am I the only one? You got weeds? You don't have to pull them anymore. Did you hear that in the scripture? No more pulling weeds. Amen? It's a dream I have. It's a deep-seated dream. When I first bought this house, I said, I'm going to make this a house that is low maintenance. Run the lawnmower around it once, and it'll all be fine, and there won't be weeds, and everything will be controlled. It has not worked out that way for me. I dream of that garden, the Garden of Eden, that place where it was perfect, that place of perfection, and doggone it, if Adam and Eve didn't blow it. Were they bored? Were they curious? Were they rebellious? They were just led astray by a slick-talking snake. I bet he was a politician. They succumbed to temptation. That's the story of what happened there, wasn't it? And as soon as they had succumbed to temptation and God pointed it out to them, Adam succumbed to passing the buck. She gave it to me. Remember? That's the first thing he says. Eve gave me it to eat. And here we are in the human condition. That human condition of free choice, free will. We can decide. We get to choose and pick a blessing or a curse or a test. A test. Think about that sometime and be aware of that. But I want to go back to the weed business. We don't have to pick weeds. There was a comedian, I can't remember who, and I couldn't find the routine they did, but they said, if you're driving along and you see somebody who's a terrible driver, and there's never a policeman to catch him, have you ever been in that situation? He says, we issue everybody a dart gun with rubber-tipped darts, okay, suction cups. When somebody's doing something really dumb in their car, you just shoot them with the dart. The police just wait, and they just pick up the car covered with darts. They'll know. You know, they can figure it out right there. Oh, yep. You got 20 darts. All right, just come right over here. We'll take care of you. We know that that system wouldn't work out. I mean, what about that gal who is just on her way to the hospital because she's in labor? If we had only known the whole story, if there weren't complications like that and confusions, we'd be all right and we'd be able to decide which was which. I have to tell you a story, true story, pastor confession time again. My folks came very close to living off the grid. We had a truck garden, literally grew all the vegetables that would cover us the whole year. Canning was a machine in our home. I mean, the whole process, canned everything. I swear my mother canned sunshine. But getting there, you had to go out, and my job was to rototill everything up, and we'd get that done, and then they would plant, and then the next big phase is to go through and weed the garden. So Mom decided that she was going to train us kids how to weed. Well, after one weeding session, she came to me and said, I don't think you're good at weeding. I had pulled up just about everything, and some were weeds and some were crops. And so I don't have that green thumb ability to differentiate. It may have been a very good mistake that I made, because I didn't ever have to go out and weed when my sisters and Mom were out there weeding. I did get other jobs. It didn't quite pan out that I got away from it. But sometimes we just don't know the whole story. Thankfully, there's good news. God knows the whole story. God is aware. The rest of the story, wasn't it Paul Harvey that used to say that? God knows the whole story. And there's no spin on the story. There's no nuances. There's no slick lawyer to get. God knows the whole truth. Amen. But today's parable is pretty explicit. Don't go pulling weeds. Jesus said, in gathering the weeds, you would uproot the wheat along with them. I think we have to think about that. It's a simple sort of idea, and yet we just don't like to hear that as people of faith. We want to be in the middle of taking care of things and deciding, and we can tell. We're so smart. God gave us free will and all this intelligence. We know who's good and bad, don't we? Saul, who became Paul, would never have had a chance with any of us. Think about that a minute. Here is a weed. There's no question in anybody's mind. Everybody knew Saul. He was just hell-bent to persecute Christians. And he did it vigorously. And he did it with a well-educated stance. He did it by the book. He did it by the Torah, the laws. And he persecuted them and patted those workers on the back that helped him do it. There is a weed that needed pulled early in his life, no doubt. But somehow God, in God's time, knew better. The downside of letting God do the weeding is that we have to wait for God's time to do it. We have to wait till the harvest. We have to grow up side by side with those weeds. That's tough sometimes, isn't it? Now, there are probably a few people in my life that would consider me one of the weeds they didn't want to grow up with at one point or another. And that's hard for us to know. We really think this other person just doesn't deserve God's love, care, and forgiveness, nurturance. But they might be another Saul who God renames Paul. So our greatest temptation as humans is to pull those weeds and pull them now because we want instant gratification. That's one of the things that we need to look at most closely is when something happens, it makes the news. Everybody watches the news. They see it. And the news makes money because everybody's watching it. So that's what they air. But they find the guilty party pretty quickly, and we condemn them from what we see, and we're ready to have instant gratification. Let's put them away right now. Let's see justice immediately. Crowd justice is not God's justice. Crowd justice feels good to us because we all agree. We're all one mind. It feels great because we couldn't all be wrong, could we? And yet, that is not God's justice. Depending upon, it might be the very temptation that is a test for us. Whose shall we be? Now, the other part of this game is, it is a struggle to let go and just let God. Especially those of us who have become parents, because we have kiddos that we have to correct and nurture and guide, and sometimes we have better halves that we try to correct and guide, and that's another story, and we're not going to go down that path far, but it's in our nature to nurture and to lead and to correct and tough love and kind love and raise kids. And then, oddly, we turn it around to the world and we're trying to raise everybody else around us. And that's that temptation that comes in. In point of fact, we might be angry at Adam and Eve for getting us kicked out of the garden. We might decide that they're, they're weeds. Yeah, that makes it an interesting discussion, doesn't it? But you see, we are no different because we also seek that free will, that free choice, and that determination. So what are we to do? That growing up, living with the weeds, where is the hope that we need to survive? Doesn't it seem like the world is going crazier and crazier? Now, I want to make a footnote there that every generation says we're worse off than we were before. And yet as we look now and look back to the previous days, they look pretty good to us now. So it's all a matter of perspective, I think. And I think back, I grew up in the 60s in a rural community. We'd go out, we played in the Colorado River. We'd go cut down trees and made a raft to float in the river. We did all kinds of fun stuff kids could never do today. Were those the good old days? The town dumped its trash in the river. That was not a good old thing ever to anyhow. So our vision of the past is colored, and those golden days may not have been as golden as we thought they were. Nonetheless, it seems like we search for hope. Now, how many of you noticed my sermon title? Sacred Hymns. How many of you figured, Pastor made a mistake? Maybe it was auto-correction. Maybe it was a mistype. This is from Psalms. Did you hear, Richard? Lord God, you hem me in, behind and before, and lay your hand upon me. Such knowledge is too wonderful for me. It is so high that I cannot attain it. Think about that minute, to be hemmed in, to be surrounded by God's loving hands, to know that God is there, aware and willing to help you stay on the path, to give you that guidance you need, to give you the nurture, to give you the strength to endure the weeds, and maybe even see that the weeds are not weeds, but they're flowers in disguise. God hemming us in, the sacred hymn. Not to say that I haven't made mistakes in the Bible or in the bulletin before, but this one is not. God hemming us in, a sacred thing. God always and forever, never failing, never pausing, never taking a vacation, caring for us and hemming us in. However you want to look at that, through scripture, through prayer, through word from people, from the Holy Spirit within us always. God hemming us in, giving us guidance and nurturing us. Be hemmed in. Allow yourself to realize that you are hemmed in before and behind you, God with you. We should have sung Trust and Obey as our closing hymn. What is our, I would throw Pia off because she's got it on the PowerPoint. Great is the Lord is good. Great is the Lord will work. Be hemmed in. Trust and obey God. Follow where God leads. Let God do the weeding. Amen? All right.